Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio in Chicago, Illinois, it's Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. On tonight's show, we have Wayne Baker Brooks from Jake Melnick's and Salamoth Brewery, Ivana Susick. We also welcome in Rich Schramm, founder of I Got This from Cincinnati. And lastly, get your calls in for Tell Me Something Good at the end of the show. And now, to get you through this Wednesday, here is Patty Vasquez.
Happy, happy Wednesday. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. So happy to be here. I really, I'm wearing gear, if that's one way to put it. I'm wearing clothing that I'm retiring tonight for the season. So I'm wearing a black sweater turtleneck and black corduroy jeans, which basically Wayne Baker Brooks means that I'm dressed either like a French grad student or a thief from the 1970s?
No, you're perfectly right with the French grad student.
French grad student? Yes.
Yeah, it fits you perfectly.
I don't know if that's appealing or annoying, but that's kind of the feeling I got when I threw this on today.
Oh, it's very appealing.
I am. I'm not packing away all my winter gear,
yeah.
But I'm planning for this to be the last time I wear a turtleneck sweater for the season.
Yeah, it's supposed to be nearly 70 degrees Friday, right?
Yes, but that means that it could also be 20 next week.
The next, yeah.
Yeah, it's too much.
Yeah.
You look spectacular. You just came from a performance, Wayne Baker Brooks.
Yeah.
One of the most spectacular American blues artists out there.
Yes, George
Thurgood. No, you, my friend.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I thought you was talking about George.
I know, but you just came from another show. As a performer, it takes someone special to get us out to watch somebody else. You don't go see anybody. No, who'd you see tonight?
George Thorogood.
Yeah.
And you're right. You're absolutely right. It has to be something very special. And George, his music is timeless. You know, so just, you know, I was like smiling and rocking and rolling on a Wednesday.
That's so great. And in St. Charles.
St. Charles.
Arcata. At the Arcata. That's a great venue, too.
Yeah.
And I say that in a way that makes it sound like I've been there. I just know that great artists go there, and I've never had the pleasure. I've heard it's wonderful.
Yeah, it's a long drive, but it's worth it.
There's no short way, no easy way, no direct route to St. Charles.
No.
You, no matter what time you leave from right this spot right now, 1 hour, 15 minutes.
Yes.
1 hour, it doesn't matter.
The fastest is 1 hour and 7 minutes.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe the police officers know who you are. You pull out your driver's license.
You have to be very careful.
Especially on 59.
Oh, yeah.
59, forget about it.
Yeah.
So which way, because I go, this is going to be one of those moments, Esmeralda, where people give you their routes. Because how would you get to St. Charles from down here, Esmeralda? Because I would go, the way I know best is to go down up the Kennedy, stay on 90, 90 to 59, 59 to North Avenue up to St. Charles.
Yeah.
That's the only way.
Google Maps.
Waze.
Waze.
That's
Waze.
What I would
do. Yeah, Wayne's Ways.
Wayne's Ways. That's a good one. You better have that app. You need to put your voice on that. Do you know which route? I mean, or do you just do it? When I say, do you know which route? Or because some people just know it by second nature.
Well, yeah, I took 290 to 88.
Okay.
And then got off at Farnsworth.
See?
And just had to, you know. Yeah.
See? That's a lot of cutting over and things like that.
Yeah.
But on 59... my husband and I were coming back from a show at St. Charles, Zany's, and I had been drinking. He had not. So I was a little lit in the passenger seat. And I realized that probably the most annoying person is the drunk person when a sober person has been pulled over.
Oh, yeah.
And the police officer was flat. He goes, okay, sir, I want you to follow my flashlight. Don't move your head. Just follow the flashlight with your eyes, right? So every time Steve would turn left, his head would like kind of twitch a little bit because there was also traffic coming.
Yeah.
So there were headlights in his face. So he like twitches a little bit and I like grab him like, you're moving your head. And I think the officer let him go just because he felt sorry for Steve and his annoying woman in the passenger seat.
It works every time. I now know what to do.
Yeah. Just have an annoying drunk next to you.
He's fine. He hasn't been drinking, but I have, officer. I hope that's not a problem when you pull us over, right? Like by association.
You might get us both put in jail.
Do you know my whole life is my husband's entire life is please God, let her be quiet. Please don't make us have to leave to the kitchen. Please don't make her ask for the manager. Please. his whole life. We'll talk more about that, actually. I have a story to tell you about a restaurant. But I wanted to share a restaurant. Some friends of ours from Jake Melnick's are in the green room. They're going to come and join us. And Solemn Oath exclusive beer. Ivana's going to join us in just a moment on 720 WGN.
I ain't nothing but a chicken wing. Don't worry about a single thing. When your troubles start coming round, don't you let it all get you down. No, don't sweat the small stuff. Life's too short to live it up. Send your worries right down the drain.
Oh my God, these are so good. I've had a bite so far of only two styles of the wings that our friends from Jake Melnick's have brought us. Ivana joins us in studio to tell us more. You've just been voted the best wings in the country.
Yeah, we got voted in the top 10 wings in the country from the Today Show.
Excellent. And they know their wings because I don't know if you've seen that show, but they eat all the time.
I like them already.
People bring them food from all over the place. Yeah, I'm sorry. Wayne,
Al.
Especially
Al.
Al's got it in check, though.
Yeah, he's got it in check.
So tell us about Jake Melnick's.
Well, we are known for our wings, obviously.
Yes.
We also have an extensive beer program that we like to run. So we've got a lot of really great craft beers to pair with our wings.
And how does somebody pair a wing? Because if something's spicy or sweet, obviously, like maybe a Saison goes with something that's a little spicier because it's got that sort of creamier taste to it. Is that
exactly? You don't want anything too hoppy or anything too spicy. And actually, right. the beer we're going to be talking about from Solemn Oath that we did, the collaboration, is a perfect food beer because it's not too spicy, nice and mellow, nothing too hoppy.
Excellent. Very cool. And where is Jake Melnick's?
It's actually right down the street from here, so if you need some wings before work, it's at Superior and Wabash.
Oh, now we know, Michael.
We always need wings before work. You just opened up
some beer.
I'll tell you the nights that we don't need the wings. No, these are great. And how long has Jake Melnick's been there?
13 years.
How did I not know about Jake Melnick's? Superior and Wabash. Is it on the other side of the river? Is that why?
It's just a little bit west of here and a little bit south. A little bit north, actually.
It's a little bit north of here.
Mm-hmm. Come with me after this. We'll get a beer.
Yeah, let's walk over right now.
Yeah.
How late are you open?
Till midnight tonight, but I can make a few phone calls. Yeah. Oh, I know a guy.
I know. Wayne and I have walked the streets of downtown Chicago after this show.
Yeah.
After this show, in search of some place that would, one, let us in according to their dress code.
Yes.
That was a wild night.
Yes.
That was not okay what they did to us.
Yeah, that's why I'm dressed.
The redheaded piano. The redhead piano bar.
Yeah. That's why I'm dressed like I am now.
They made us. They bounced us. That's why the bouncer's there. Oh, now I get it.
The redhead. Yeah.
Yeah, the redhead. Yeah, that was not okay. By the way, all we had to do was go down the street.
To Jake's.
Yeah. Should have gone to Jake's.
How late are you open on Fridays and Saturdays?
2 a.m.
See? Uh-huh. This is what I'm saying.
See, now we know people.
We know people. Ivana. We call over them. We're like, we're going to be a little bit late.
Yeah, just drop my name.
And Wayne is wearing kicks. Is that okay?
I can handle that.
That was a crazy night. That was not okay. Do you when it is hopping, when it's crazy on Fridays and Saturday nights, though, it's got to be so much fun. And that's the best thing to have, our wings on a late night.
Oh, absolutely. It's a circus, but we've got plenty of beer, plenty of wings, and everyone just has a good time.
What is the rest of the menu like? Because obviously you feature wings and you're very passionate about them.
Correct. We have a lot of really great homemade barbecue, too. We have hickory smokers, so we do a lot of really great pulled pork, some chicken. We've got a great veggie burger, actually, we make in-house as well, so we got a little bit for everyone.
Oh, see, now that's a
good... Yum.
See, you don't like veggie burgers, do you?
I love veggie.
Do you really?
Yes.
Now, what makes a good veggie burger? And why? And because whenever I see veggie burger on the menu, I skip it. Well, because black bean burgers are really good.
I love black bean burgers. Yes.
And veggie burgers that are made well, like with it has mushrooms in it and stuff. But so that's great that you mentioned that, and I'm sure it's featured in the menu that it says in-house, because it'll say Boca Burger.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, really? I can just.
No, why go Boca when you can go homemade?
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love that. So do you guys have, what can someone expect when they come into Jake Melnick's? What's the environment like? Is it sporty? Is it like pub-like?
It's a good time. It's definitely a sports bar, but then, I mean, it's casual, but we definitely focus on, slightly finer dining, so you get the experience of good servers with good food. Super casual.
I want to live there for a moment. Can I ask everybody in the studio, and Natalie, if you do want to join us? Do you not want to join us? No. Oh, all right. Natalie runs PR, and I was going to ask, Esmeralda, and everybody, and people can call us, too, in the next segment. I'm not going to say the name of a restaurant nearby, but I got really hungry before the show last night. I got in early. The host stand, no one was there, and the bartender saw me. Servers saw me. There were two people behind a curtain that leaned back and looked at me and started talking to each other. Still took another 3 minutes. And I should have just walked out at that point, right? But I hung in there because I really wanted some ramen noodles. And I know, right? When you get ramen in your head, you got to have ramen noodles. Like, that moment's over. So I go, and then finally the server seats me at the table. She brings me a glass of water, gives me the menu. I know what I want to have. And I see the server go to one table next to me, and then there's only two other tables there, me and the other two tables. And I'm like, I don't know what other expression to make except for I'm ready. Like, And he not only goes to the other two tables, gets a drink order from them, brings them their drinks, and still walks past me. Like, I was trying to, like, you know, make the gesture of I'm ready. 5 minutes went by and still no. What's your cutoff, Ivana, when you go to a restaurant, knowing what the service industry is like and what your expectations are at Jake Melnick's and what you guys are good at? That's a little excessive, isn't it? And now I've been there for 8 minutes and still not been able to put it in an order.
That's not cool.
That breaks my heart. We give our servers 30 seconds to greet their tables and get it started.
See?
30 seconds.
Right. You drop a cup, whatever the signal is. Because we used to, whenever I waited tables, you had to drop a coaster or a cocktail napkin that would let the restaurant know, whoever's watching, that you had approached the table already, greeted them, let them know who you were. Oh, yeah, it's a signal. Oh, yeah, it's a visible so that everybody knows that you've been at the table. Yeah, you got to drop something to let them know if there's any specials or anything like that. Yeah, isn't that crazy? I gotta go to Jake's.
You gotta go to Jake's. Yeah.
I gotta say, that was my mistake last night, was wanting ramen and not wings. Next time, wings every single time. More with our guests when we come back on 720 WGN.
And a little bit of chicken fried. Cold beer on a Friday night. A pair of jeans that fit just right. And the radio, oh, oh, a lot of sea sunrise. See the love.
You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. Happy Wednesday. We are in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is Wayne Baker Brooks, who is off to Memphis, Tennessee for a show on April 2nd with Buddy Guy, Bobby Rush, who recently won his Grammy this year. And we have, and he's playing with the Bo Keys and 7th Avenue.
Yeah, Southern Avenue.
Southern Avenue?
Yeah.
I've heard it both ways. Yeah. Southern Avenue. That's what happens when I'm half talking to you and half eating wings off the air. See, I knew that door was going to open. Come get you some wings. There's plates. There's all, look, they have Esmeralda's joined us in studio. In the lobby. No, I every time I walk by, Ivana was in our green room, and she joins us from Jake Melnick's. Every time I walk by, I'm like, oh my God, it smells so good. And I was tempted to eat before we came on the air, but I was like, you know, I'm going to wait. And you have challenged me. You and Natalie have asked if I would participate in a fundraising event in the fall. And you challenge media types to consume, I'm guessing, just really spicy wings.
They got a little bit of heat to them.
And so have there been any, listen to me, like, do you hear me catch myself? Like, have there been any sort of public displays of not being able to handle the spice? Oh, you don't want to scare me.
We've seen some tears.
Okay, tears are fine. Regurgitating is what I'm talking about.
Oh. Yes. Patty, I actually have
can't scare you.
I have an idea.
You have an idea?
For this, for you to
I have to practice. Come on in, Rob. Mm-hmm. See? Well, this is fantastic.
It brings people together.
Okay, not everybody. Oh, thank God, and Adam's here as well. We got to see. I knew these wings would go to a good home. And really, Rob, please take some home with you. We have plenty. Yeah, there's some. By the way, before we get into the very spicy, scary, and Michael, you wanted to say something?
Oh, yeah, I had an idea for you to win the competition.
How do I win the competition? Oh, we keep eating them. I build up my tolerance.
That's a close call. Oh. I was thinking.
I will help you.
Esmeralda. More so along the lines, we had a guest on last night who brought us this magic fruit pill that numbs your tongue.
Shh, don't.
I heard about it.
I mean, you've heard about it?
I've heard about it.
It's the new thing.
Today,
yeah.
I heard
don't,
about
you're
it.
Telling, our, I didn't think of that until you said it, and that's a great idea. Only
okay,
now it's
Ivana,
like
I need
cheating.
I need you to put your hands over your ears
yeah,
really quick.
Yeah, if you could just, cover your lips. Natalie's very concerned about this cheating element. There's a pill that our friends from Data Essentials brought last night. It's just like a little tablet that you melt on your tongue. And then after you do that, everything tastes sweet. Like if you try sucking on a lime, when you suck on a lime, it tastes like an orange. Mm-hmm. It's really sweet.
The magic fruit pill.
Not that I go home and have wine after the show, but let's say I went home and had wine after the show. It mm-hmm. tasted like, you guys take more. You didn't take it. Okay. They left the studio. They're like, you don't have to run.
They like, all ran
man,
out.
Man, they didn't
they
want to eat
ran.
In front of me.
Eating and running.
I know. So I had a glass of wine and it tasted like sweet Greek wine. It tasted like Mavrodaphne. And I was like, if this tablet makes everything taste like Mavrodaphne, I'm a happy girl. But I think that Natalie would sort of not want to know if something like that occurred.
Yeah, we promised not to take one of the magic
What if
pills?
I like chose several these? Charities? Okay, here's the thing about that, though. It's not unlike, and I don't know, Natalie, if this is your first child. Your third. So you know, there is no easy way out of pregnancy, right? So they can give you all the drugs you want. You can have all the epidurals. You can, not all the epidurals, just the one, and it makes you numb, or the drugs. Your body doesn't forget the sensation of pain, right? It just is blocking the message. And then afterwards, when your body, recuperates from the drugs, you are kind of like a war zone. So that's what it would be like if I consumed tremendous amounts of hot food, but it tasted sweet to me and I just kept eating it, I would definitely suffer the consequences later. You might not see them in public, but I promise that if we do this, we will catalog it for you.
Worth it.
Not all of it. Hopefully.
Not all of it. No, no, no. Not in that way. But like video of me going, I really shouldn't have done that. I love that my producer, Michael Heidemann, is finding ways for me to scheme.
I'm just looking out for you.
But it's mostly for the charities.
For the charities.
Right? Yes. It's for the individuals who benefit from Equestrian Connection, the people that work mm-hmm. with equine therapy, and individuals who have special needs, disabilities, who would really... Ivana's like, I'm not really sure where this is going, and I'm not comfortable with the conversation.
Well, either way, Jake Melnick's has like some of the best wings in town, like, yes. For sure. That's 100%.
And I won't take the sweet pills because it should be enjoyed. As is. So my crew has absconded with a lot of wings, and I want to make sure that they know the variety. So you mentioned that there was one with barbecue and pineapple, or pineapple and...
We don't have a pineapple one. What was right it? Now. We have a sriracha one.
Right. Okay.
Sweet sriracha one.
Oh, sweet. Oh, mm-hmm. sweet. So it's sriracha and mm-hmm. sweet. See, that's a brilliant blend. Mm-hmm. I love that. So what's the range of wings that you've brought in?
Well, today we brought the medium wings, mm-hmm. so something very standard and traditional. We have our poncho wings, which are marinated in cayenne pepper and garlic, and mm-hmm. then just grilled, perfection the way they are. Super hot wings as a starter wing for your triple X. And then we have some of those firecracker we just talked about.
The firecracker.
Ah.
Excellent. Now, I know that you don't like meat, Wayne, but do you like hot sauces on the things that you
I
do?
I love hot sauce.
All right.
I put hot sauce on everything. I had pizza today and I put hot sauce.
Do you guys sell the hot sauce separately for customers?
We just started bottling our hot sauce, actually. Yeah. We even had a beer recently that had habaneros in it. So you can get your spice Whoa. Any way you want. Yeah.
What? Uh-huh. Oh, I love that. Esmeralda is enjoying some of the wings. And when she's ate, no, don't worry about it. No. Take your time.
They are so delicious.
I know.
So wait, the ones in the boxes there, one of them is it the sriracha barbecue?
If it's a lighter orange and it's got some little green onions on there,
no.
Yes.
It's from the three boxes next to you. So the one that's barbecue-esque.
They're all empty now.
Yeah, but
well, the one that was barbecue, what was that? Because that sauce is good.
It's barbecue. It's the barbecue one.
Is it a house-made barbecue sauce?
It is.
It's delicious.
It's fantastic. Come back and get the sriracha with green onions on it, though. Just make sure. I know. I have a listener who's like, food doesn't translate that well. But it does when we talk about it and describe what goes into these spices. Now, you said you've been there for 5 years.
Correct.
Your sister's been there for 7.
Correct.
So the turnover rate for the restaurant industry is significant. So it has to be a great place to work if they're keeping you there.
The food's good and we have an endless supply of beer. where can we go wrong?
Gotta keep anyone there.
Exactly. Where are you from originally?
Was born in Chicago.
And where'd you go to high school?
Lincoln Park.
She's like, I've been waiting for someone to ask me that.
Public school kid through and through.
Hey, I went to Lane Tech. I know. What's Lincoln Park's mascot? Do you remember?
I don't remember. Lion?
Is it? Yeah, that sounds right.
I tried to block out most of high school.
Well, I was listening to... Why is that?
I'm a much less awkward adult than I was a teenager.
That's the beauty of those 4 years, isn't it?
That's one way to describe it.
There you go. Yes. I know. Wayne, where did you go to high school?
My first year, I went to Mendel Catholic. Mm-hmm. And had to get out of there. I had to get out of there. It was all boys school. Got into too many fights because all the ladies from Unity, would come and hang out with me, and all the guys would get jealous. So I had to get up out of there.
At 14, you're like, it's time to,
it's time
to shed this place.
So then I went to Percy L. Julian and graduated from Percy L. Julian.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where's Percy L. Julian? What
103rd and Elizabeth, which is like a block away from Vincennes.
So you were not an awkward high school student.
No, really. Yeah.
I was down the middle. I think I was awkward. I mean, there are moments that will stay with you forever, and I think that's what Ivana and I probably hold on to, are those moments that people embarrass us publicly, or we embarrass ourselves.
Yeah.
You know that moment you throw away your retainer accidentally?
Yeah.
During
no,
lunch.
No,
exactly. Then I have to go through the garbage because it's a $150 piece of equipment that my parents would probably kill me for if I didn't go find it. I don't know. Let's take a quick break, and breeze past the discussion about our high school experiences, because Ivana's like, can we move on from all of that? We are live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining us is Wayne Baker Brooks, who is going to be performing with Buddy Guy, Bobby Rush, the Bokees,
yeah.
Southern Avenue,
yep,
on April 2nd in, yep, Memphis, Tennessee. We have Ivana Susik.
Good job.
Oh, I'm so excited. Can you loop that for me? She said, good job. I'm pronouncing her name. It doesn't happen that often.
Yes, I will.
Let's enjoy that moment. She is joining us. She's the beverage director from Jake Melnick's, and we've been talking about the amazing wings they have. Been voted in the top 10 in the country by Today Show. More after this on 720 WGN. Yeah, why didn't you play that song before Ate the Ones that said fire on them? I'm going to need Esmeralda, I don't know if she's going to eat this. Do you want to eat that before you do traffic? I think you need it. I mean, it won't make a difference. If it burns, it burns. Joining me in studio is Wayne Baker Brooks, who is performing on April 2nd in Memphis, Tennessee. We'll find out more about the other shows he has coming up, but he's appearing with Buddy Guy, Bobby Rush, the Bokees, and Southern Avenue on April 2nd in Memphis, Tennessee. Also joining us in studio is Ivana Susik. She's the beverage director at Jake Melnick's, and they have an event tomorrow night. You guys have a new beer that you're tapping.
We do. We did a collaboration with Solemn Oath out of Naperville.
I'm not familiar with Solemn Oath. Is that a brewery?
It's a brewery. They're newer. They opened in 2012.
Excellent. And this is I'm a big fan of Belgian style.
They do a lot of Belgian style, and this one is a Belgian style with a Trappist yeast, which is generally used by monks.
Okay. So the monks are still making ales?
They're still making ales.
I mean,
rocking.
I know we have them to thank for champagne.
Yes.
Because they've been doing this for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I like the Belgian. And what's the difference between a Belgian ale? Like, is that also a farmhouse ale? A saison? What are the...
Saisons are going to have a little bit more spicier notes to it. Mm-hmm. The Belgians are generally have a little more fruit, a little banana, a little clove to it.
Okay. Which are all, by the way, fantastic.
Indeed.
Every time I hear banana in my beer, I think, oh. And then I try it anyway. It doesn't taste like banana. It's that sweetness to it.
Yes.
And the cloves probably mask that as well. And it doesn't, but at the same time, it doesn't taste clovey. I know. Wayne's trying to take this all in.
No, I was thinking, you know, the alcohol content. That's what I was thinking.
So you have, your event is on the 23rd, which is tonight.
Tomorrow night. Almost tonight.
Thursday night, right.
Yes.
From 5 to 8 at your location.
Correct, at Jake Melnick's at 41 East Superior.
And people just can kind of come in and enjoy this freshly tapped brew.
Oh, yeah. We don't do a lot of ticketed events. I think it's more fun if anyone from the public can just come on in, no reservations, come in your jeans right after or before work, Patty.
Nice.
And try the new beer.
Exactly. And you guys are also doing a March Madness burger.
We are.
What?
We are.
What's the March Madness? The burger madness.
I don't know if you're ready for this.
Okay.
It's a burger.
Make me ready.
It's got bacon. It's got cheese. Mm-hmm. And then instead of a bun, we use two grilled cheese sandwiches.
Mm-hmm. That is burger madness. Now, would you do the grilled cheese sandwiches with a veggie burger?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
that sounds
black
good.
Burger, yes.
Mm-hmm. Actually, we just had somebody do that this weekend.
Yeah.
And why wouldn't you? That's perfection right there. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yum.
So that's going through March 31st during March Madness, and that's a great place to watch the game. So you have a bunch of televisions all over the place.
Bunch of televisions tomorrow night during the beer tapping event. Actually, you'll have Blackhawks game on March Madness. So there's going to be a really good time. Just come in, watch some sports. We'll have the sound on and drink the beer.
And you have a new late night menu.
We do.
Tell me about that.
So,
because as we mentioned earlier, we're late night folks over here.
Yep.
Do you like nachos?
Yes.
Do you like tater tots?
Oh, hello. Go ahead. Continue. I'm listening.
We have these tater tots that are topped with melted cheese and then with some house smoked meats. It's called our sloppy toddies.
You know what? That was my almost my nickname in college. Just off
mine
by
in
one,
high school.
Off by one letter.
Parlez-vous français?
I love that you just went with that burn. Excellent. She's like, wait a minute, slow burn. I got it. And I just burned myself. So this is sloppy toddies. on your late night
menu.
They're
probably my favorite thing on the late night menu. You can always get the wings as well and full late night beer menu too. So everything's available until 1:30 a.m. for beer and then 1 for food on the weekends.
Oh, so very fun. Now what? Now when someone, this is the first time I've seen this on a lineup for a menu. Drool inducing desserts.
What's
the most?
Lying.
Well, yeah. What's the most drool inducing item?
Deep fried Oreos, pancake. Yep, pancake batter, deep fried Oreos. It's even better than it sounds.
Okay, oh so God. Next time it's your. This sounds like a bad mix, but your best Bloody Mary and deep fried Oreos. Yeah, let's do that. Let's break those nights up when we do.
Or
that.
You can do a milk stout, for example, and dip the Oreos in it.
Done.
Or do a Belgian ale like the pot trapeze from Salamoth because it goes with everything.
Excellent. I think we need to do we have to see what nights are good for you, but maybe on a Friday night, I think what we do is we have a Republican and a Democrat in studio working on the budget in the state of Illinois, have them dip deep fried Oreos in that milk stout and see if we can't fix things from there.
Oh my God.
Oreos make everything better.
I'm saying, how do you not agree on a budget over deep fried Oreos? Yeah. Right, that's gonna happen.
There we go.
Let me take a quick break here. More with our guests when we come back on 720. Oh, there's no. Oh, I'm going straight. I don't need a break. I was not
that sure.
Sound
like some food Elvis would eat.
In this combination? She said PB and J wings are on the menu. By the way,
yeah, that's something.
That's
like
Elvis.
Elvis, yeah,
wrapped in bacon.
You should give all the representatives the really hot wings.
Did you have one of those yet?
Not yet.
Oh,
I'm prepping.
Rob, how are you doing with those wings?
Yeah, no, I'm good. I didn't take the really hot or the fire or the nuclear hot wings. I instructed Esmeralda to keep the hot wings clear until after our update.
I've been fanning myself on and off the entire time. Rob, I think on the way out, once you're done, I think that you should grab yourself a fire wing.
And maybe. Then he's like a dog in the car, head sticking out.
Driving, my tongue hanging out in the wind.
Well, exactly. I want a selfie of that, too, if you don't mind. And I'm sure that'll be completely safe while you're driving.
Sure, while I'm driving, sure,
absolutely. On the Kennedy, everyone watch out on 90 for Rob Martier with his head out the window taking pictures of his flapping tongue. Market, Ivana, before we go, I just want to make sure that we've covered everything. So your event is from 5 to 8 p.m.?
Correct.
And that's at Jake Melnick's at 41 East Superior.
Yes, exactly.
Excellent. It's really been a pleasure. We look forward to having you back in studio.
Thank you for
having
us.
Deep fried Oreos. And thank you for the bounty of wings that you've shared with us. And I will start training for the hot wings challenge at Jake Melnick's in the fall and see if I can't take down your champion from last year with 11 wings. Yeah, that's a lot. Let me see if I can just do this one, finish this one wing. Thank you so much, Ivana. Selfie before we go. Something's going down in the city. I know that voice. I know that voice. That's Wayne Baker Brooks. Something's going down in this town.
Something's going down in the city.
It's hot sauce.
Yes.
I take it back, Mike. I can't tell now if the hot is hotter than fire. The wings from our friends Jake. mm-hmm. I'm not. It's catching up with me now.
Jake Melnick's.
Jake Melnick's. Is there a wing sauce that's called Afterburn? Because there has to be. That's what this one, the hot one is. It's an afterburn.
Oh, man.
So I'm fine. I'm totally fine.
It's weird because it tastes good, so you're like, must power through.
No, I know almost immediately that I've made a mistake.
Okay, I'm saying the magic pills. Now that they're gone,
I have them in my purse.
That. Oh, okay, good.
No, we should try that in a little bit. We have plenty of wings left.
I don't know why people do that to themselves. It's so hot to where you just can't stand it and you start sweating.
Is it wrong that I'm kind of enjoying the burn? I am. I'm enjoying the burn just a little bit. I don't know why either. No, you're right. It is sort of nonsensical. My dad loved hot stuff. Like he would eat hot, like hot peppers whole.
Yeah.
But there came a point in his life when his taste buds changed and he wasn't able to eat hot peppers.
I'm sure that ain't all that changed. I mean, goes in got to come out, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
I remember in high school, I had a friend that was from Thailand. Her entire family was from Thailand and we were sitting at, her family owned the restaurant, the Sukhumvit Cafe, which was on LaSalle. It was near LaSalle and North Avenue. And it was a wonderful restaurant. It was a really small storefront. And it was the first time I ever had Thai food. I've been chasing that taste ever since because her father would bring out platters of the Pad Sayu and Pad Thai and Banh Mi salad and all these things. And he would tell us which spices went with it. You know, like when you go to a good Thai restaurant.
I love Thai food. Oh, my God.
Sukhumvit Cafe was the best Thai food I've had in my entire life. And it's not just because I was 14. I'd never experienced this food before. And it was my friend's birthday. There were just like six teenagers sitting around a table being, you know, served these amazing dishes that I had never experienced. And so he would show us how to eat them. And but when we were older, we were like 17 or 18. We were at my friend, her name was Tiki, and we were at her house. And I remember just sitting around, and we were basically kind of playing not truth or dare, but just like daring each other to do things. And one of them was to eat a Thai pepper.
Oh.
Yeah, and like, and I did not do that. I like hot things, but one of the girls like just got so like it just looked like she was gonna throw up, and I was not gonna do that
or swell up.
Exactly, something bad was gonna happen. But my dad loved eating hot pepper. Like I as a kid, I wanted to be like my dad and eat hot peppers like he did. And like he would, it was a sort of a badge of honor for him that he could eat hot stuff.
I like hot stuff, but not too hot. You know.
This is good. This is a pleasurable burn.
But I'll tell you, Thai food tastes so much better here than it does in Thailand, actually.
No.
Yes. I was so disappointed.
Well,
I was very, very disappointed.
Maybe does it depend on where you go or just you tried? You kept trying?
I kept trying. I was there for like 3 days and had to eat, you know, Thai food for 3 days. And it was like, you know, okay, it's good, but it's not like, you know, Tammy's stuff, at, you know.
Where's Tammy's?
Marina Cafe. Well, she isn't in. No.
She's not here anymore?
No, she's in Indiana now.
Oh, Tammy.
Yes, Tammy. My favorite place, but.
Do you have a good place in Chicago now? Because I'm having a tough
not
time.
Not really.
Right?
Yeah.
The Succumbent Cafe, nothing meets that.
No.
You know what makes me crazy? And this is such a stupid thing to be nitpicky about when it comes to Thai food. When I get pad say, that's the wide noodles and generally tastes better with beef.
Yeah.
It's supposed to come with, the way I ate it when I was at the Succumbent Cafe as a teenager was with Chinese broccoli, which is more like almost like a collard green, sort of a long leafy vegetable.
Yeah.
But in most Thai restaurants, they serve it with regular broccoli. And it makes me so sad every time I order pad thai when it comes with big chunky broccoli.
Yeah.
Because it's not the right taste.
Flavor, yeah.
It does. It's too sharp.
Yeah.
And good pad thai is the best. I 312-981-7200. I know I'm making you all hungry.
I know I'm starving right now.
Do you have a good Thai place? Because I find it really hard to find good Thai food.
Man, please tell me, because I love Thai food. And of course, you know, there's a lot of good Thai food places in California.
California,
yes.
Sure. Not good pizza, but good Thai food.
Good Thai food,
good Chinese restaurants.
Yes.
That's the other thing too. Like I have Chinese restaurants that I will order from, but each one of them has one thing that I like, but not like one place will have great egg rolls, but not the best, you know, almond chicken. Or another place will have, you know, the best beef and tomatoes and green pepper, but, you know, terrible egg rolls, whatever. I can't get it all.
I've been to 40 different countries, and every country I went to, there was a Chinese food place.
Really?
Yes.
Everywhere. Yeah,
everywhere.
I love that.
And in China, it's just food.
How about Mexican? Right, it's food. How about Mexican food? It hasn't gotten everywhere.
Much. No, not as much.
I know.
Not as much as Chinese.
Well, yeah. I could see that. But I think Thai is a little more specific too.
Yeah.
It's interesting that you did not like it in Thailand. Did you try telling the restaurant owners or the server?
No, I wouldn't dare.
No, but what you were looking for, because I'm guessing the menu is also hard to read. Right.
Well, we had interpreters. And,
okay.
Yeah.
Maybe your interpreters were just messing with you.
Maybe.
And ordering stuff that wasn't even that good. Let me mess with this musician. He thinks he's all hot and stuff. He thinks he's Mr. Thang.
No.
312-981-7200. Do you have any Thai restaurants that you would recommend?
Yes, please.
Absolutely. And I actually have, but I don't know how long you want to stay, Wayne. We have a guest coming up shortly. We're going to talk to Rich Schramm about, he's the founder of I Got This from Cincinnati. But later on, I also want to talk about, last week we had a conversation around the fact that some of us own things that don't own things. Like Mary Schmeek from the Chicago Tribune has never owned a microwave, has never owned one.
And she
feels weird about that. Do you have something you've never had?
Well, I stopped using the microwave for a very long time.
Was it because the Russians are listening to you?
No.
I'm kidding. Go ahead.
No. No, I just felt like it was something unnatural about it.
Okay, that's fair.
You know.
But when you tell people you don't have a microwave?
No, I have a microwave, but I just don't.
Just don't use it. Well, that's different. But here's the thing.
I've started to use it every now and then now, but for like at least 5 years, I quit using the microwave. Completely.
But is there anything that you've never had? that when you tell people, like, I don't have a flat screen television. I have a big tube television in my living room.
I still have that too.
Right?
But thank I you. Do have a flat TV.
Oh, well, why do you still have the big tube television?
I don't know.
Because it still works.
It still works. Absolutely.
Why would we get rid of
it
that?
It still works. Yep.
Right?
Yep.
No one else is going to buy it. No one else wants our big deep tube 2001 television. Yeah. Right. I wanted to ask people, what do you own that people make fun of you for? 312-981-7200. Is there something in your rotation, in your collection of items, whether it's your wardrobe or something in your home, that when people find out you have that, they make fun of you? 312, we can do it now, 312-981-7200. I'll tell you mine right now. I often will be seen wearing a fanny pack, a hip pouch, a waist pack. Mike is, wow, that look on your face.
You are such a hipster, Patty.
I've had one for at least a decade. I have a flat one that like is really kind of it. That one's discreet, but I will move into like I actually have one that's actually intended for gun owners. So it has like a holster and it has clips for the like the magazines and things like that. But I use it as a fanny pack.
That's hot. That's hot.
You know, a hipster would say that. They've had something for a decade.
They've had it for a decade. Here's how old mine is. Like the clip on it broke. I have to use it, one of those butterfly clips. Like for the Esmeralda, how are you doing with that hot sauce, by the way?
My tongue is on fire. Like mainly my tongue. The mouth is okay. Like my lips and everything. It's tingly, but my tongue is the worst part right
now. I had to fan myself for a while. Did you see me? I was just like, I can't. I have to get aired. I was doing this for a while. 312-981-7200. What item do you own? And by the way, I'm not ashamed when people like make fun of me. And I will. Here's the thing. People try to shame me. I will double down on your shame every day of the week and twice on Sundays. The first time I noticed someone make fun of my husband. He also wears a hip pouch. And we were at a 4th of July celebration. We were at actually one of the beaches in Evanston. And someone came up and said, "Hey, Steve, the 80s called. They want their fanny pack back." And I spun around and Steve was like, "Please don't say anything. Please don't say anything." And I go, "Oh, you know what? You know what's really handy when you are the father of a special needs child? To have everything that child might need readily available and not have to second guess what he might want because he doesn't speak." More after this on 720 WGN. I don't play. I do not play. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is Wayne Baker Brooks. He's going to be performing on April 2nd in Memphis, Tennessee with Buddy Guy, Bobby Rush, the Bo Keys, and Southern Avenue.
And Vesti Jackson, who was nominated for a Grammy this year as well.
Wonderful. That's a good show.
What a lineup.
That's a great lineup.
It's insane. It's insane.
I was going to say you ain't playing, but you are playing.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be playing there.
Well, actually, to be, you know, completely truthful, I'm just producing and musical directing.
Okay. That's fine.
Yes.
I wasn't going
to. I wanted to play. But
I wasn't fact checking you or anything.
I don't know. But,
and you're not doing fake news. You are going to be appearing with them.
Yes. Well, yeah. Musical directing. So I'm making sure all the music is like, you know, in place and, you know.
Without you, it doesn't happen.
Well, I would like to think that, but no.
Wow. This is the most underselling appearance I've ever had from a guest.
For me, it's about the cause. The cause is,
which is?
Prostate cancer awareness.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we're putting on this event to, like, you know, enhance the awareness about about the cause. And I always wanted to be a part of something like this, you know, helping educate and save lives, and at the same time, you know, have music involved with it and play music, or, you know, put it together and produce. And
excellent.
So it's like a dream job for me. So
perfect.
Yeah. And then to have someone like Buddy and, you know, Buddy Guy, you know, and his awareness and what he brings to the table. He's the national spokesperson for PCA Blue.
Really?
So, yes.
How did he get involved?
Him and John Lupton, who is the CEO and founder of PCA Blue, got together. They met and talked about, you know, prostate cancer. Buddy's brother was diagnosed and died from prostate cancer.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so those two got together. So John is like, you know, the guy that put everyone together, you know, the team, you know, Ivy, Lynn, Orman, you know, is co-producing, and Buddy is the national spokesperson. Bobby came in and he's, you know, helping with the message as well. And
what a great collaboration. Yeah, congratulations on that.
Yeah. And Matt from DC, you know, doing the marketing, and it's just, you know, he put this team together that's just phenomenal, and we're doing it for a good cause, and that's what I care about.
Well, our friends down in Tennessee should certainly check that out. And if you're, you know, drive down and see Buddy Guy. What a great road trip. Get some barbecue on.
Yeah.
Just saying. Now, you were saying, we were talking about items that we might own that people might make fun of us for. And as I mentioned, I own not one, but several fanny packs. We are a family of, my husband and I are both fanny pack owners. So we're talking about these items. But Jerry wanted to join the conversation. He had a microwave comment because you do not use your microwave anymore. Jerry, what did you want to say?
I actually have a microwave. Well, back in 1976, my dad bought a microwave oven. We were the first family on the street to have a microwave oven. Okay,
I remember that family. Yeah. Go ahead. Huh? I said, I remember a family like that in our neighborhood. Sure.
My dad worked for a steel mill that went out, that closed up, and things radically changed back in 1979 or 1980. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And my dad wound up replacing that, the first microwave. And I don't recall exactly, but I'm safely saying it was either 81 or 82.
Wow. Okay? Yeah.
And I don't know where he bought it from, but he bought a second one from Montgomery Ward's. Okay.
Oh, wow.
This is going to be really good. Okay.
Okay.
And we got to talk after I do the entertainment value, because this is going to be worth something. Okay. My dad had bought a second microwave as a backup for when the first one went out.
Hey, planning ahead. Okay. Sure.
Okay. Throw the clock forward. Okay. I go to college, come back home. I finally move out when I'm 28. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And in my parents' garage was one of the microwaves that for some reason it was not working. And my dad, again, being frugal, thrifty, the whole nine yards, the whole cow concept, okay? And we're going to take the whole cow concept.
What's a cow concept?
Using the whole cow? I think it
use all the parts of the cow. Gotcha. I'm tracking. Right, gotcha. I'm catching up. You go, Jerry.
This is the whole cow.
We're riding along. Let me get my chop. Okay? Yeah, my riding chop. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. And it's not so much people making fun of me, but me making fun of myself.
Okay.
Which is the icing on the cake. Now, I'm 28 years old. I move out, and I had said to my dad, or my parents, you know, I got my own place. Can I use some of your tools every now and then until I buy my own, et cetera, et cetera?
Sure.
And when it came time for the microwave, I had said, you know, my gut sensed that there was something very simple about this microwave that was a quick fix. My gut, my intuition sensed it.
Okay. What was the quick fix? Is it as quick as getting to what the quick fix was? Go ahead.
It turns out that it was only a fuse that was blown.
Okay. How do you find out? Okay, as long as we're going down this path, as long as we're riding this horse, as long as we're driving this truck, how does one find out that there's a fuse blown?
Well, there's screws on the.
I'm never taking a break, Michael. If Jerry's not taking a break, we're not taking a break from this story.
Bring it home, Jerry.
We're gonna bring the story home. Come on, Jerry. All right. So you take off a panel. Yes.
Yeah, you've got screws on the back of it. You know, again, we're all about fixing stuff. And if my late grandfather had been born about 20 years later, and someone had given him a guitar, I guarantee you what that man did with his hand, he would be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Okay.
Okay.
So that's my maternal.
You're making me track a lot of stuff. I mean, we all know that I have ADD. I'm like that dog in Up. I'm like squirrel. And now we're talking about guitars.
There's
okay.
a lot of threads.
Yeah.
To, like,
yeah.
Right
I can't. I'm like now. I'm like a cat with yarn. Okay. Go ahead. Okay. Get it. So, get it, Jerry. Okay. Fuse is blown. You fix it. Yes. You're 28.
Uh huh. You open it up. You take the cover off, and there's a fuse panel. Okay. Very simple. You go to Home Depot for $1.99. You buy a couple of fuses, you pop them in, okay?
Yep.
And voila, she works, okay? And this was probably around 1996, okay? So roll the clock forward a few more years.
Oh, please, let it be a lot of years. Go ahead, Jerry.
Okay, and then all of a sudden, the thing quits working on me, okay? And microwaves are only $150, but they're a lot smaller.
But you want to hold on to this. This is from 1977, possibly 1981. It definitely lasted when you were in college and when you were 28.
He was 28.
Okay.
81, 82. Okay?
Okay, sure.
This is like the fridge from the 1950s that won't die. Okay?
Are you trying to make drivers drive off the road right now, Jerry? Go ahead. I'm just curious. Go ahead.
Well, I'm not. If I wanted to do that, I'd do that in.
It was my fault. You stay on the story. I can be have ADD. Okay. You don't.
Do not okay. Scare him off.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jerry.
You might not be able to follow the story even if I stay on track.
I am on track. You have no idea what track I'm on, but I'm on it. Go ahead.
The thing quits working on me, and my dad said to me, I told him about this. He said, "Well, there's a part known as a Megatron, which is akin to a tube on a tube. You know, the old TV." The big TVs, the non-flat screen TVs that you mentioned.
Yeah.
Okay. And when that goes out, that's usually time for the microwave to RIP, rest in peace. Okay?
Sure, yes.
So at this point, I give the old college a try. It turns out that I had sources where I could get a Megatron wholesale for about $75. The regular price is about $150 or the price of a new microwave.
Yes.
So I give it a college try. I pop in the new Megatron, and she's good for another, I don't know, part 10 years.
Okay. Yes. Now, there's more, Michael. Hold on. There is more. Keep going, Jerry. Yeah. Oh Jerry, gosh, I'm in. Michael, it's too late now. Go ahead, Jerry.
We're so deep down this rabbit hole.
Yeah. There's no more carrots left. Go ahead.
Inside this microwave, there's a screen because you've got the microwaves being shot out through the Megatron and bouncing around all over the place. That screen starts to... It's not...
Wayne's having a tough time. Go ahead. Go ahead, Mike. Go ahead, Jerry.
Okay.
Yeah, poor Chad. Go ahead.
The thing started to burn, and I wound up replacing that. And again, I went to the parts place, cut it down, popped that into place. Okay? And then she's working really good. Okay? And I wind up moving.
Jerry, I have a quick question. We're going to stop at replacing the screen. Can I just ask you a question? When you tell this story to your friends in a bar, how does this go over with them? I'm just curious.
It's a gas. I mean, it's like, what? The hell?
Okay.
Oh my God.
So
just imagine after minute 19. Oh, just loving it.
Go ahead, Jerry. Get me home.
Well, we're all about entertainment value, right?
Yeah, get me home. You're clocking in at 9 minutes on this story. I just want you to know right now.
Well, I'm also very winded, very detail oriented for what I do.
No, I hadn't.
I replaced this filter thing probably sometime. I don't know. Maybe 2000-ish.
Jerry,
okay?
You keep going. Keep going, Jerry. More after this on 720 WGN. Keep going. We're listening. Wayne Baker Brooks and I will shorten it up, but you keep going. No, you keep going. Fortunately, Michael Heidemann was there for the rest of Jerry's story. How did things turn out for that microwave? 1981-82.
Well, let me tell you, it was a doozy of a story, and it ended up, long story short, the microwave still works.
Excellent.
Yes.
Yay.
I know.
So glad to hear that. And, sorry, what was that, Wayne?
Be a spoiler alert.
No one needed to spoil that.
Thanks for holding back your enthusiasm.
The winner of the evening are all the listeners that hung in there for that story as well. And Chad, who was on hold the entire time. Hey, Chad, how are you doing?
I'm good. I was going to tell you guys about this old car that I get a lot of trouble for, but now I really want to tell you about my microwave.
How old are your cars?
I have two old cars. One of them looks like hell and runs really well and is nice on the inside. And the other one looks awesome when it goes by you. But when you get in, it looks like a homeless guy's been living in it for a while.
Don't you wish you could just blend them so you had the perfect car? Sure.
Yeah, I really do. Yeah, I only ended up with two of them because I thought a friend was going to buy the one. And I went out and bought another before I had it sold. So
which one he was going to buy?
Yeah.
So the one I thought I had sold is a 72 Jaguar. That's the one that looks really good on the outside.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. It's like a really beautiful lawn ornament because it doesn't go anywhere.
Oh.
And the inside of it's toast. So, yeah, both of them are basically sitting there waiting for me to have a few grand to throw at them to finish them off. And
what's the other one?
Something drivable. The other one is a 85 Mercedes diesel. So, yeah, turbo diesel.
Nice. Yes.
Yeah, they're going to be great someday. But like my mother-in-law, who has like a super dependable Toyota, just thinks, you know, my head's firmly planted in my ass for the meantime, I guess. But
well, you know what? Hold on the line. Michael's got a Apple Electronics gift card to send out to you. It's not going to get you anywhere near to fixing that, but maybe you can find a nice car radio. It'll get you move you in that direction for the Jaguar. I don't know.
Microwave.
Thank you to Steve Shapiro.
Right, thanks, guys.
Thank you to our friends over at Apple Electronics for making that possible. It's time now for our news. Coming up after the news, we're going to talk to Rich Schramm, the founder of I Got This App. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I want to thank all of our listeners who are texting in to thank Jerry for his story. And Esmeralda would like to thank him for providing an example for Colin.
Yes.
Jerry, we like hearing from you. And it was a bit long. We have some suggestions for editing from some of our listeners, some requests. I think it is noble that you called in. That was exactly the right idea, that you own something that has gone through many manifestations, including repairs on your own. But wow, yes, that was...
You know, I was strangely enthralled. To be honest,
I wasn't sure where to. Yeah, I didn't want to hurt Jerry, but I needed to go to the news, and I also had Chad on hold.
Yeah, and there were too many just webs, and I was kind of like crawling through all of them and getting wrapped up in them.
Yeah, I mean, his grandfather.
My childhood.
Yes. But here's the thing, like I was tracking because I had one of those big like silver handled microwaves, you know, with a big silver button. And I remember there was a microwave at the University of Illinois Chicago when I was in the theater department that would still keep running after you opened the door.
Oh, man.
That never. Yes. Oh, Esmeralda was like, yeah,
that can't be good.
No. Like, I remember, like, I opened it and went to reach my hand in to grab my, like, my mug of tea or whatever. And it was, like, I could feel, like, you could hear the zzz. Yeah. And I was like, this can't be good. And this hand's fine. This whole side of my body is just fine. It's got to, and we kind of take those things for granted in our houses now, don't we? And the fact that you would tinker with it and take it apart, that's what I think we're.
Yeah, I thought he was going to say he used one of the parts for his car. And it,
yeah,
like,
right?
You know, like, Back to the Future type thing, you know?
Do you ever take anything apart to try to fix it? No, I never
take. Maybe my guitar, I would like take something out of it. Like,
yeah, I could see that. You know more about that. I have a new friend of the show. We want to welcome Rich Schramm to our evening conversation. Hey, Rich, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm very well. Am I saying your last name correctly, sir?
Yeah, Schramm.
Schramm, excellent. We are going to talk to you about ADHD and low self-esteem and how we can better communicate with our kids. I have two young boys, both of whom use iPads and cell phones now. My older son is involved now often with like group texting. It's constantly drawing his attention. I don't know that he has ADHD. A lot of us kind of use that as a generic term. But tell us a little bit about the work that you're doing.
Right. So what we've done is we've created a tool that is a task management system that is designed specifically for ADHD families. And so it's designed to help kids have a stream of successes and build their self-esteem while helping actually get stuff done, which is something that all parents can certainly use some help with.
Oh, no doubt about it. And ADHD has sort of become a generic term. People kind of, they make fun of the fact that it's even a diagnosis these days. They're like, oh, you know, when I was a kid, you know, we called that not paying attention. And, you know, we smack our kids around and things like that. Tell people why it's important to acknowledge the diagnosis of ADHD.
Well, in fact, recent studies have just shown that there are actual physical differences in the brains of people with ADHD than there is in people that don't have it. So it's definitely not a something that's made up or just a fake label. And it's actually a neurological disorder. And one of the things that we really need to be able to understand is this disorder actually is the byproduct of having an extraordinary mind. And some of the greatest people in the history of our world, Thomas Edison, Albert Einstein, and even some of today's celebrities and business luminaries like Richard Branson are all people that have had ADHD. So it's a very legitimate thing. And the language that we use around it right now, saying that you have this deficit or this disorder, it's very damaging to kids' self-esteem. And so one of the things that we've tried to do with our solution is try to change that conversation so that these kids understand that there's nothing wrong with them. Their brain is just wired differently. And it brings with it a lot of benefits as well as the downside of being a little bit more distractible and forgetting things occasionally.
Now, I heard you say had ADHD. Is it possible to have it and then not have it again?
What they found is that as you get older, you as a if you have it as a youngster, you can outgrow it or the symptoms become less pronounced. What's not clear is whether that is just due to the fact that you've learned to deal with it more effectively as an adult, or if the the rewiring of your brain actually happens. But yeah, it's definitely something that as you get older, in many cases, it becomes less pronounced or diminished. But most of the time, it never goes completely away.
In what ways are the brains different? You mentioned that there's actually an anatomical location for ADHD.
Well, you know, and again, I'm looking at studies that just came out last month.
Okay.
from some different things.
That
and
is
so
recent.
I can't, you know. Yeah, I can't actually, you know, I'm not a neurologist, but from what I've read, there are areas of the brain like the omagodon. I'm sure I'm butchering the pronunciation of that, but
welcome to my life. I butcher all names left and right. I have a machete and I take it to names.
So, yeah, so there's these different regions of the brain that are actually different sizes. And after a significant study of kids and adults that have ADHD versus a test group, they were able to see a very clear difference in the structure and the size of these different areas of the brains based on the people that have this disorder.
In what ways are children impacted when there's whether they know they have ADHD or not? I mean, there are people who go undiagnosed for a long time. My brother was diagnosed with ADHD in his 30s, and it cleared everything up for him. Like, I think to him it made sense. His whole life made sense all of a sudden.
Yeah, and I think that's a very common thing. Since I've been on this journey, I've spoken with a lot of people that have been diagnosed late in life, and they look back at things now and say, wow, yeah, I can really see it. And now that I have some understanding of how this works, it's, you know, it helps me feel better.
Sure.
One, that that this is not just me being lazy or, you know, careless or whatever it is that we label these people as, you know, and it's unfortunate. I had ADHD as a kid myself. Uh-huh. I have it still as an adult, and I've got three kids with ADHD, which is how I got started into this whole thing. And it is really very damaging to the self-esteem, and that's really been one of the big things that I've been focused on, because these people experience this constant series of small misses. You know, it's like dying from 1,000 cat scratches. You forget this, you forget that, and over time it adds up, and you start to think, you know, what is wrong? Why can I not do this? And why, you know, other people are able to do it? And what I like to explain to people is, you know, it's like judging a Lamborghini by how well it seats a family of five and tows a boat, right? I mean,
sure.
It's if you judge a Lamborghini that way, you're going to say there's something wrong with the Lamborghini because it doesn't do those things well. But it's not a minivan; it's a supercar.
I will say this: Wade Baker Brooks and I are both impressed with your analogies of dying from 1,000 cat scratches and the Lamborghini with a family of five towing. I want to take a break here, if you don't mind. Can you hang around? I want to talk about this app that you have. That I got this app that is helping families through these sort of rough waters.
Absolutely, yeah.
Wonder, we were talking to Rich Schramm. When we come back, we'll talk about I Got This app. More after this in just a moment.
You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is musician, singer, musical director Wayne Baker Brooks. Has a lot of appearances coming up. We'll talk more about that after the 1 o'clock hour. Right now we have on the line with us Rich Schramm, who has developed an app to help your family with ADHD. And children who are diagnosed with ADHD are likely to suffer from low self-esteem. Rich, we have a listener who has a question for you. They've texted in. Michael, what's the question we have?
Yes, we do, in fact. They're really enjoying the conversation. And from the 847... So my daughter was misdiagnosed with ADHD. She's been taking Adderall and Vyvanse, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly, for nearly 10
Vyvanse.
Years.
Vyvanse. Right.
For nearly 10 years. Can there be any repercussions for taking those drugs unnecessarily for that long?
Oh, great question.
Oh, well, I don't think that's a question I'm qualified to answer. I'm not a doctor. You know, we've had our children on a couple of different drugs, and, you know, we found some negative side effects and decided to pull them off and try to deal with it in other ways. But I would not try to give anybody any kind of medical advice like that.
Well, and you've come up with a tool that helps families deal with it, sort of a mechanism by which they can manage things. Tell us a little bit about the I Got This app.
Yeah, so basically, again, I have three kids with ADHD, and, you know, I was getting frustrated in seeing how, you know, the world was kind of beating down their self-esteem. And frankly, I was frustrated and worried about their ability to be able to get stuff done and be able to be independent. And I looked for some solutions that I could try to find out in the marketplace. I'm a 25-year IT veteran, and I was just floored that there was nothing out there that was designed for our kind of family. And so I dropped out of the corporate world and decided to build the solution myself. And so I've been working on this for the past 18 months. And it's a productivity tool that is designed for any kind of family. And I mean, any family with kids can use this, but we've added in some features that were designed specifically for families with ADHD. So it has a reminder system that is a fail-safe reminder system. So it won't let your kids forget to do something. It will continue to remind them over and over again what they're supposed to be working on until they actually start the task. And then once the task is started, it'll remind them while they're doing the task what it is they're supposed to be focused on. So if they get distracted, they see a squirrel out the window or whatever, this will bring them back into what it is they're supposed to be focused on and remind them. And it's also got a built-in reward system. So as the kids are actually accomplishing these tasks and marking them as started and completed, they're earning tokens, and those tokens can be used to redeem rewards that parents set up in the system, whether that's, you know, choosing what's for dinner or a new video game or go to the zoo or whatever it is. Parents can set that up. So the kids are incented to continue to do these tasks and to get stuff done. We provide badges so that as they have accomplishments and achievements in the app, they're getting some positive reinforcement back as well. From that. And we also are providing what we call additives, which are ADDitives, if you will, that send out positive messages to the kids and to the adults on a regular basis that remind them that ADHD is just the byproduct of having an extraordinary mind, and that there's nothing wrong with them, that they're perfectly capable people. They're just wired differently, and you know, they have their own strengths just like anybody else. And so that message, that positive reinforcement of telling these guys that, you know, they're awesome, and helping them achieve this steady stream of successes,
sure,
is all designed to help build their self-esteem. And then the parents, they're also getting real-time notifications, which is the other great part of this, is that as the kids are doing these things, mom and dad can get messages on their phone, if they choose to do this, is all configurable in the app, about the kids have started this task or they've completed this task, or they have missed this task or they haven't started it yet. And so you as a parent can take a step back and let your kids have a little bit of freedom and independence, and you don't have to stand over top of them and be the helicopter parent and give them what my kids used to call digititis, right? Did you do this? Did you do that? Did you do this?
So it's better than the honey-do list.
It's exactly right.
Sure.
So, it cured digititis in our house. And, I think that also there's a whiff of distrust that's involved in that when you're kind of constantly interrogating your kids if they did this or that. And I think that also can be damaging to the self-esteem. So, we've tried to be very cognizant of the issues that are involved there and trying to make this an app that really is helps the productivity and also helps kids feel good about themselves.
What's the age group for the app?
Well, I think any kid that is old enough to have a mobile phone or a tablet is the right age. So we're looking at basically 10 to 18. Though I've had some coaches that have called me up, ADHD coaches, that have read about this or heard about it in the media, and they're interested in using it for helping college age kids as well. So
I would imagine.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I imagine that'd be a great idea. I mean, it's one kind of thing, like I'm like, I might need to be incentivized. I mean, if I earn enough badges, I get to buy a pair of shoes.
Yeah.
Right.
There you go.
I get to go out to eat.
That up for yourself.
Right. How do people get involved and where can they learn more information?
So right now we have a Kickstarter campaign going. We're about 95% of the way done with the development.
Oh, congratulations. Okay. Go ahead.
Thank you. Yeah. So we're looking to launch this in May, and it's available to pre-purchase right now through Kickstarter, which is crowdfunding. It's a way for people to be able to buy the app now and let me get the rest of the money we need to get this across the line, and then we deliver the app when it comes in May. So right now we're trying to crowdsource this last bit of it. And you can go to our webpage, igotthis.com, read all about the app. You can read our backstory and everything about how we got here and why we're doing this and all the features, because there's a lot of features that are actually designed for adults as well. We have planning wizards and kind of project management for your family. You can organize tasks into projects and have subtasks with checklists and a lot of pretty advanced features that will be real helpful to keep parents on track and productive as well. So again, it was designed for the whole family, not just for kids and not just for kids with ADHD, but everybody can use it. And if you go to igotthis.com, you can read all about the features and then go to the Join Us page. And follow the link to our Kickstarter campaign and back us and help us help kids with ADHD, and let's change the world for these kind of families.
I agree. Wonderful work. Thank you so much for joining us, Rich. Again, everyone can go to igotthis.com. Rich Schramm, it's been a pleasure, and we look forward to following the story and see how things evolve and some of the success stories that I'm sure you're going to encounter.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me on. Have a great night.
Our pleasure. That's some good blues right there. Wayne Baker Brooks, what album is that from that people can find?
Mystery.
Don't work like that.
Yeah, that album, I earned 4 stars for that album.
I would have given it 6, but so I guess we're on a four-star scale.
Well, I was in good company. Buddy Guy had 5 that year, and Magic Slim had 4.5 or 5. I think he had 5.
All right. Well,
I was the only one out of Chicago. You know, us three were the only ones out of Chicago that had accoladed album like that.
Well, it's a perfect segue back into our segment about items that you might have that people will make fun of you for. And it's amazing that we're coming back to microwaves, because it actually was inspired by a piece that Mary Schmeek wrote that she's never owned a microwave. And in the last hour, one of our listeners, Jerry, was very diligently going through the many stages of a microwave from 1981 that, long story short, actually, I believe it was short story long, which is fine, Jerry. Mm-hmm. We're here for you in the middle of the night. We do our best to be here to have conversations. I like to be patient with listeners. I really thought there was going to be an end to that story.
It was ironic that we had the ADHD.
Right after that?
It
was not intentional, but things work out sometime.
Yeah.
Jerry, it was a pleasure to hear from you. And now we have another Jerry. And Jerry, is this for real? Another microwave story?
Yes. This is something people make fun of me, or at least one guy.
Okay.
Because I own, or was talking about, and that is your screener. I told him the story. He said, call back after the news.
Okay.
This is really funny, Jerry. So he was making fun of me. Do you want to hear the story?
Yes, that's why we have you on the air.
Are
you
microwave?
I want to hear about your microwave that Mike has decided is very funny. There's a lot of pressure on you, Mike, not on Jerry, just so everybody knows.
I enjoyed it.
Excellent. All right.
I back it 100%.
Hit me with it. Hit me with the best shot, Jerry.
Okay.
Tell us about your microwave.
Okay. Oh, Pat Benatar. Okay. Anyway.
Nice. Love is a battlefield, my friend.
Yes. Okay. Anyway.
We belong in this moment. Go ahead.
Okay. I have a 7-year-old microwave I bought for $49.95. It's a Sunbeam. I bought it at Target. I cleaned out the inside of it a week ago. It's almost as clean as new, inside and out now.
Sure.
And it works like I bought it yesterday. It's 7 years old. It's a Sunbeam. No problem. You know, I don't abuse it, but I'll tell you this. Most of the electronics or electric stuff I buy last a long, long, long time. So do all my clothes, you know.
Sure.
I don't know why. They just do. So now, I bought a fan at Target, and it was fairly expensive. It was, I don't know, $39.95. And like a week before the warranty ran out, it broke.
But you,
a week after.
Sure, Jerry, you like getting your money's worth. So long story short, the microwave was $49. You bought it 7 years ago. It still works. You cleaned it out last week, and it's like brand new.
Yes. That's
excellent. Excellent. Well, your friends should not make fun of you for a Sunbeam from Target. It's an excellent item. Jerry.
Hey, I have a little factoid for you.
Okay.
You know the guy, John Fogerty, who does the song Center Field?
Yes.
He is in the Baseball Hall of Fame for that song.
Oh, we have to fact check that now.
Wow, yeah.
Okay, you check it out.
We're all scrunching our faces, which means that we're not sure of that. We have not heard that before. Thank you so much, Jerry. You have a great night. Look forward to hearing from you again.
Okay, bye.
Thank you. Bye, yes.
Let me play you off, Jerry, real quick. I'm just proud that he kept it under 4 minutes.
When I was a kid,
I know, I don't know what happened, but this was my favorite song when I was a kid. I don't know why. I don't know why I like this more than Love is a Battlefield. Joan Jett.
Hit me
with the best shot's really good too. Joan Jett's in town, I think, on Monday night.
Nice.
Hobson, she's at, I think she's playing like a small venue. Which I can't go to because I'm going to be in Texas. I'm going to go hang out with the Navy this year.
Nice.
Last year was the Marines. This year it's the Navy. I'm making my way through the armed forces, my friends. Hey, better late than never is all I'm saying. You know, I just and so many things that I shouldn't say. Yes, Michael, did you have some texts you wanted to share with us?
I was just going to say, you're eventually going to get your own like star or something like that. You're going to come back with some patches.
No.
Man. Mainly the text messages that I've been seeing is mainly microwave jokes. So just
yeah,
I haven't really screened these yet. So
that's okay. We have another caller. Maybe they have. Maybe it's the guy named Jerry who has a microwave. Esmeralda, do you have a microwave?
I don't. I have no space for one.
That's fair.
Mainly why I never have since I've been living on my own.
Food tastes better when you cook it.
I agree with you completely.
It's very convenient.
Yes, it is.
I'll give you that. I mean, my parents have one. I had one when I was living with someone. Mm-hmm. But then on my own, I usually live in smaller places, and there's no room for a microwave, so I never have one.
Well, and I will say this, a friend of the show and good friends of ours, Yenny Alvarez and Mark DiCarlo, Yanni and I would say that we prefer not to heat our food up in microwaves. Yeah. We don't like to use the microwaves for our food.
Yeah. I don't mind it.
There are a lot of foods that taste better. There is a lot of food that just tastes better if you heat it, reheat by putting it in the oven. In particular, something like a deep dish or thin crust pizza.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, you can't be putting that back in the
microwave. Yeah, no. I never, even when I was in college, when I lived in dorms and I had a toaster oven.
Yeah,
instead of a microwave.
Yes. I prefer that.
Yeah, like a Hot Pocket. I would leave it. I mean, it takes an hour, but it tastes so much better because it's crispy. And even with that crispy pocket thing for the microwave, I don't trust it.
That silver little envelope for it.
Yeah.
And I see microwaves as kind of one use kind of machines because I don't cook with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, the only thing you do is reheat stuff, and I have a stove for that. So.
Right. You know what I do? I heat my water in the microwave.
It's quicker, but that was the thing
that made me quit using microwaves.
What?
Was an urban myth that I saw on Facebook.
Oh, no.
Fake news, maybe. I don't know.
What?
When you use water to water a plant.
From the microwave?
From the microwave, the plant dies, like, you know, 2 days later.
Oh, no. Am I in trouble? Every morning I wake up and I heat up a cup, big cup. The first thing I do in the morning is I drink warm water. From the microwave.
Yeah.
Well, wait. What about plants?
Yeah.
So if you water plants.
Why are you heating up water in the microwave for your plants?
I guess the urban myth was just to show that it's not good for you.
Yeah.
But are your plants dead?
Yeah, the plants die.
The plants died.
But is that because.
And then you use regular water and the plant still lives.
Oh, okay. But you yourself haven't done this.
But no, I haven't. No.
Oh, okay.
And maybe you shouldn't put hot water on your plants.
Yeah. Is it just reheated, but then it gets cold?
Room temperature.
I would think that if that was the case, then Patty would be dead by now.
Yeah, I've been doing it for a year. I've been doing it for a year, and now I'm feeling a little uncomfortable.
We'd start to see some sort of symptom.
I don't even
Patty's wilting.
Yeah, something would be happening, although I do have this bad shoulder. More after this on 720 WGN. And you can join the conversation anytime, 312-981-7200. Anything we've talked about or anything we're going to talk about, open for conversation. More after this on 720. Baby, get a blister on your thumb. We got to install microwave ovens, custom kitchen delivery. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Producer Michael Heidemann has only been with the show now for, is it 6 weeks, 8 weeks? How long have you been here?
Yeah, it doesn't seem that long.
Seems like, but it also seems like always.
You know, it does.
Kinda
it's like a Jerry story.
Kind of seems. Mm-hmm. Okay. But the beauty of Jerry is that Jerry, as much as we laugh, and we're not, by the way, Jerry, please thank you so much for your contribution to the show tonight.
We're laughing with.
We are now, I believe, on our 17,000th microwave story of the evening. Joining us right now is Dan, who wants to join the conversation. Hi, Dan.
Hi.
What do you want to tell us?
Eating?
We're well. How are you doing?
I put instant coffee in the microwave once and almost went back in time.
Okay. There you go. He's got a Stephen Wright joke. Thank you so much. We appreciate that. Thank you so much, Dan. Have a great night.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. A friend of the show was actually, Yenny Alvarez texted me and says she wants to buy me a tea kettle because I mentioned that I microwave my water when I get up in the morning. Yenny, I have a beautiful tea kettle that I got for Christmas.
Weren't you guys discussing about electric tea kettles?
Yes, we were. But I think that they're better in the UK because they have higher voltage. Do you have a tea kettle there?
I have one for the stove. I used to have one in college that boasted on the box that it heated up water less than 60 seconds.
What was that?
Yeah, that it boasted that you could heat water in less than 60 seconds. It was like an electric one.
Okay.
And you could heat it. It would boil in less than a minute.
Jeez. See, that's the thing. Well, because when I get up in the morning, I don't want to turn the stove on. Right? I do other things. So here's the thing.
Yeah, but tea kettles let you know.
Yeah, they whistle. I don't know why I don't turn the stove on. I guess I should turn the stove on. You know what? I don't have a name on this listener that's joining the conversation. Hello, you're listening pretty late. How can we help you?
Patty, it's Dr. Lars Dingman calling.
What? It's been such a long time since we've heard from you, Dr. Lars.
Yes, how are you, Patty? It's good to hear your voice. I was down in Australia doing a series of speeches at colleges and playing comedy clubs down there. It was fantastic.
Well, it's lovely. And you know, you had been on the show last year and were giving us a lot of predictions. You, of course, are our music psychic on the show. People have been wondering where you are, including listener Ellen Miller, who's a big fan of yours on the show. And it's really a delight to have you back. We didn't even have your music. There was no cue for me. Now you're trying to be all sneaky with me, aren't you?
I just felt that I hadn't talked to you in a while, and I thought it would be nice to call. I'm also a fan of the blues. Is it called the blues music? And I'm a big fan of the Wayne Brooks Bakerman.
It's Wayne Baker Brooks.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
Wait, really is it Wayne Brooks? No, I don't even know anymore.
Some people call me Wayne Bakey Brooks.
Wayne Bakey. Hey, Bakey. I don't know what they're alluding to, but that sounds like
my guess would be marijuana.
I think you're correct. And actually, I don't know if you know this, Dr. Dingman or Wayne, there was legislation introduced today to move in the direction of legalizing recreational marijuana in the state of Illinois.
In Illinois?
Yes, I predicted that on your show last December, as I recall.
You did. You said this was. Yeah. You said that's how we're going to fix our budget problem here.
Worked in California, where I currently domicile. It's gotten the state out of a huge budget problem, and I think it could do the same for Illinois.
Well, they're moving in that direction. I believe there was a senator, Heather Steens, has submitted that, and a representative. I don't know if you had a chance to listen before you called in, because I know that you often just feel compelled to call, whether or not you've heard the conversation. We've been talking about microwaves, and a listener wanted to give me some advice. Every morning I wake up and I put a. By the way, let me see what John thinks I'm doing wrong. But I microwave a cup of water every single morning because I like to drink warm water when I wake up. John, what are your concerns?
Yeah. When I'm a chemical engineer, and when you put the water in, a ceramic cup and heat that in the microwave, it leaches out chemicals that could be in the ceramic, and you're drinking those chemicals that could be harmful to your health.
Oh no. Okay, I'm gonna stop doing that right now. Consider it my practice of putting in a coffee mug with water in the microwave to cease and desist.
And also, Patty, what you're doing is, I don't know if you discussed the actual way that the microwave oven works, but what it does, the microwaves excite the water molecules in everything and get them to change their vibrational state and go into an elevated vibrational pattern. And of course, people who have heard me on your program before know that I always talk about vibration, which is music, which is sound. And if the water is vibrating too rapidly, it can, I guess the medical term would be discombobulate your guts.
Oh, I don't want discombobulated guts. I'm going to stop doing that.
Yeah, no, your body has a vibrational pattern, and all food at room temperature has that same vibrational harmonic. And when you put something in your body that is that much more vibrating faster, it's not good.
And thank you, John, for your concern and recommendations. But I mean, if it's happening to water, isn't that then the case for anything that you put in the microwave? If you put it on a ceramic plate and heat it up in the microwave for the food?
And everything you eat has some water, you know, liquid in it. So that's how microwaves work. You heat the water turns into steam, and it heats the material around the water, and then the whole thing gets hot. That's why toast is not good if you microwave it.
Well, also, you can't toast anything in a microwave.
Exactly.
That's actually what a toaster's for. I actually have a toaster oven. I have one of those toaster ovens that both has a door that you pull down and the toaster slots.
Isn't that the best?
Oh, my God. It's a magic.
Toaster oven?
Oh, yeah. See, but now, Dr. Dingman, what do you use? Do you use...
Well, I have a flashlight that is also a phone.
Me too. Hold on a second. That is magic right there.
It's an amazing... I don't know if you've... It's an iPhone. Are you familiar with the iPhone? It's been around for a while.
Yes.
And it's like a Swiss Army knife of things.
I have a camera on mine, actually. And maps. It's amazing. Dr. Dingman, would you like to take calls from listeners? Perhaps you can help them. with sure. their understanding a little bit more about themselves, about what's going to happen in their future based on...
Sure. All they have to do, Patty, is tell me the last three songs that they randomly heard, and I can, from those three songs, deduce their future.
I love it. 312-981-7200. If you want to enjoy the incredible talents personally from Dr. Lars Dingman, who joins us on the line. Where are you calling from tonight? You said you were down in New Orleans previously. Is that where you are?
I was in Australia previously. I'm headed to New Orleans in about a month. I'm in Hesperia, California. I was actually doing a show at a local college here. Now I'm actually in the Walmart parking lot. I need to go in and purchase some socks.
Well, I will keep you for at least one segment. I hope that's okay. So another
that's
15
fine.
Minutes.
I have socks on now. I just need socks for tomorrow.
312-981-7200, and I'll see if I can pull out the last three songs that randomly played. If I need to get the ball rolling, we'll start with my songs. 312-981-7200. But you know the rule. Patty, don't sing. I don't know if you're aware. There's actually a song with that title. I won't sing for you.
Yeah, I could imagine your voice would be horrific. I wouldn't ask.
Thank you. I appreciate that because others have assumed the opposite, and you would be accurate. No, he can tell from the vibration in my vocal cords
that yeah.
I cannot sing. I have no self-awareness.
So you've heard the term fingernails on a blackboard, I'm sure, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, it would be like your voice, I would imagine, your singing voice, would be like if you were to take the fingernails of a centipede. Like 100 nails scratching across a blackboard while a fat man plays a cello in the background. That's the sound that I imagine would emanate metaphorically from your throat.
It's vivid and yet accurate, and I appreciate that imagery from Dr. Lars.
I see everything, Patty.
Dr. Lars Dingman, he's the iTunes psychic. And you can go to his website. Again, Dr. Dingman, so people, as they're looking at your website and trying to consider whether or not they should call in and perhaps have you read their future, what's your website?
It's itunespsychic.com. You can also subscribe to my podcast on iTunes. It's iTunes Psychic.
Excellent. 312-981-7200, and Dr. Lars Dingman will share his incredible knowledge and talents with you and look into your future, possibly look into your soul and previous lives. I've heard him do that before as well. So you never know what you're going to get with Dr. Lars Dingman. 312-981-7200. We do have a Lou Malnati's pizza for the brave soul that will allow themselves to be in.
Sure, of course. Always for them.
I've offered to send you a pizza in the mail.
Yeah, and I said send it, and so far I've got nothing.
All right, let me...
I got no pillows, I got no pizza. You promised to give me all these things with P, I get nothing.
I will give you something with P. We all need a good doctor, and we are fortunate to have on the line with us Dr. Lars Dingman, who is calling us from parts of California I've never heard of, and that's not important. What's important is that he can help you look into your future, look into yourself and how do you help people exactly, Dr. Dingman?
Well, as we were discussing earlier, Patty, the whole world is built on vibration, and from the atomic level, photons vibrate, electrons vibrate, light is a vibration, sound is a vibration. So because the universe, the superstructure of the universe is vibration, what is songs? Songs are vibration. So what when you hear a song that you think you're randomly hearing, you're at a stoplight and a song plays about a breakup and you just had a breakup or the synchronicities, people call them coincidences. They're no coincidences. This is the universe reaching out to you through the language of music to tell you, hey, cheer up or you're on the wrong track or keep doing what you're doing. I'm able to interpret what the universe is telling each specific person and help them. I hear their song titles and I see movies in my head and I tell them what I see and that turns into their future.
Well, we have Tina on the line who wanted to join us and perhaps...
Oh, Tina.
Tina, how are you doing?
Hi, it's Gina, but that's...
Oh, Dina, I apologize.
Hello, Gina, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Metamora, Illinois.
From what?
The little town where Lincoln served law back when he was on the, I can't remember which circuit down here.
That sounds like a great town for postcards from home Michael.
Oh, yeah.
Metamora, Illinois. All right, continue. Sorry.
Metamora. That's, yeah, it sounds like a place where fairies and elves would live.
There are stories I could tell you, but I'd probably get in trouble.
Oh, you won't get in trouble. Believe me, people, first of all, I'm naturally hilarious, Gina, but I'm not actually making a joke about the fairies and elves. They have been in the human consciousness for thousands of years. People call them, depending on where you live, they're angels, they're demons, they're serpents, they're fairies. It's describing all the same things. It's entities from other dimensions breaking into our dimension to wreak havoc.
I believe it.
Yeah, so what are the last three songs that you heard, Gina?
Last three songs I have heard were Hit the Road, Jack by Ray Charles.
Yeah.
Schubert's Ave Maria.
Okay.
And Roll Over Beethoven by Chuck Berry.
I like
wow.
it.
Nice.
Roll Over Beethoven, Schubert's Ave Maria, and Hit the Road, Jack.
Yep.
I like it.
It sounds like you've just had a breakup.
No. I have not been with anyone for probably 5 or 6 years now.
Huh. What about at work? Where do you work?
I work at a bookbindery. I do quality control.
At a bookbindery. So if the pages are crooked or the numbers are out of sequence, that's your job to catch that.
Amongst many other things, yep, exactly.
And has there been a problem at work recently? You've been disciplined or someone has been fired or something bad has happened on the job?
I'm sure there have been a couple people let go, but thankfully not involving moi, so that's a good thing.
Okay, well, what these songs are telling me is that something is coming. Hit the Road, Jack, Ave Maria, and first of all, Roll Over, Beethoven. Chuck Berry right now is, rest in peace, rolling in his grave. I'm seeing an ending to something and the beginning of something new. The ending is the Roll Over Beethoven and the Hit the Road, Jack. And then after that, there's going to be a glorious new beginning for you. That's the Ave cool. Maria, right?
Cool.
How does the Ave... Can you sing a little... Not Patty, for God's sakes, no. But Gina, sing for me a little bit of the Ave Maria. Simple song. Anyone can sing it.
Ave Maria, gratia plena.
That's excellent.
Sign her up.
Well done, Tina. Gina.
Thank you.
I've lost track. Is it Gina or Dina or Tina?
It's Gina with a G.
Okay, excellent. Thank you.
And girl.
Excellent.
So, Gina, is there a big change in your life? Knowingly coming? Are you thinking of changing jobs? Are you moving somewhere? Are you moving? Something is going to be different in your life.
I have been working on the changing jobs thing, and it hasn't happened yet, but I'm really hoping it does.
That's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing this ending, the Hit the Road, Jack. That's pretty obvious, right? You're going to leave the bookbindery because, ironically, it's breaking the back of your soul. Right.
Yeah, I think that's a very good observation.
You feel at work like you are a machine, which is ironic because you're producing ideas and words, yet you feel like you're a robot, and that's you're a creative being, and that's not the right place for you.
Yeah, I'm a writer, so it makes me crazy.
Oh,
first
that's,
of all, that they're not my words, and second of all, that the stuff I see coming through is crap.
It's like
I think I could do better.
You're forced to popularize the work of inferior writers. That's all. You're in hell. You're in Dante's hell.
Kinda. Not sure which circle it is, but yeah, I would agree.
All right. Well, you're right. Then you need to move. You need to leave. And what I'm seeing in your future that your next job will be creative. I'm seeing for some reason I can't even explain. I'm seeing a bowling alley.
Ooh.
Interesting.
It is interesting.
I don't even know what that means, but I'm seeing a cash register in a bowling alley.
Is there a bowling alley?
Bring anything up for you?
There are two left out of the gazillions that used to be in my area. There's maybe two now.
Still.
What about what kind of job would you prefer? The next job.
The next job, I would like to get back into being a copywriter, doing editing, proofreading, that kind of stuff again, doing creative stuff. I used to work for a company that made, I hate to use the term, but clip art. camera-ready art.
Right, and, you know, graphic of some kind.
I'm a writer for the graphic people. I come up with the ideas for the art, and then I take the art and come up with stuff for it.
Yeah, you know what I've seen? Gene, I'm seeing that there is a former bowling alley that is being converted into offices somewhere near you, and you're going to be working there. I'm seeing draft tables and big glass skylights and a very white light building, and you're happy, and you're drawing, and you're being. I'm seeing like red, white, and blue rainbows flowing off the top of your head, like a fountain of ideas and creativity, and your big smile on your face.
It's very colorful.
I know, right?
That sounds good, Gina, doesn't it?
I'm grooving on that idea. This sounds awesome.
Yeah, so I think if what you are considering is leaving your current job, something will pop up, and I think go find it, and then tell the people at the book bindery to shove it.
Well, I would use other terms, perhaps.
Close the book on it.
I may not burn the bridge, but right. I will definitely singe some feathers, possibly, in the process. Oh.
I want to burn a book, even if it's a crappy book, that sends the wrong message.
Right.
Yeah,
close the book on that.
Ooh. And, you know,
close the book on that.
And that chapter.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. You only live once, Gina, and any day that you willfully spend in an unhappy manner is not good for you. And this is the universe reaching out to you to say, hey, believe in yourself. You have a dream. You have a gift. You should share it with the world. Don't spend an extra day in Dante's hell that you don't need to.
Hit the road, Jack. Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. And then you'll be singing one more time.
Ave Maria.
There you go.
Sign her up.
Sign her up and get her out of there. Gina, hold on the line. We've got a Lou Malnati's pizza. It's not rainbows coming out of your head just yet, but hopefully it'll set you on that in that direction and you know, fortify you for the next journey.
That would be
Thanks
great.
Thanks for calling, Gina.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gina. Have a great evening. We also have Kevin on the line. Hey, Kevin, you are on with Dr. Lars Dingman.
Hello, sir.
Hello, Kevin. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Where are you calling from?
I call from Champaign, Illinois.
Ah, that's the Champaign of cities.
It really is.
What are your last three songs that you've heard?
The Dance, Shameless, and Thunder Road from Garth Brooks.
Ooh.
The Dance, Shameless, and Garth Brooks's Thunder Road?
Yes.
Thunder Rolls, not the Bruce Springsteen song.
Yeah.
Thunder Rolls.
Right.
The
right.
Thunder Rolls, The Dance, and I'm sorry, what was the third one?
Shameless.
Shameless, okay. Dance, Thunder Rolls, and Shameless. Is there some turmoil in your romantic life right now?
Nope.
Wow. But you have no romantic life right now. Are you single?
No, I'm married.
Oh.
Okay, that's good. Because I'm seeing a placid lake, very smooth and glassy and reflecting trees and houses. So that's a good thing. Have you ever seen a lake so smooth that it's almost like it's not there?
Oh yeah,
in the wintertime.
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing with your love life is solid. But happiness I'm seeing in your professional life. You've had a recent triumph. I'm seeing two or three, I don't know if that's weeks or months, but you've recently gotten a promotion or landed a big job or something good has happened at work, yes?
Nope.
Hmm.
No?
No.
Are you currently working right now?
Right this second, yes.
Oh, confirmed.
Where do you work in the middle of the night?
Or state.
I see. Are you in law enforcement in some way?
Yes, I am.
Okay, yeah. Okay. And you haven't had a big bust or an arrest in the last two or three months?
No.
Okay. Are you working on a case, some long-term? What I'm seeing with these songs is that there is going to be a... If you look at your business career like a roller coaster, right, and you put it on a graph, you're about to explode into a positive moment of some kind. I don't know exactly what that would translate to in law enforcement, but something you do from a promotion, perhaps?
Well, I'm getting ready to retire here in about 3 weeks.
Okay. What the hell do you think I've been talking about? A big thing, a big change.
No, it's not that big of a change.
You don't think it's going to be a big change?
No, I'm about to do that. I got a job working with security here in town.
Right, but you're retiring. How long have you been on the job?
23 years.
Okay, well, let you in on a little secret. That's a big change. You have one job for 23 years.
Kevin,
you're retiring, and you're happy, and you're doing something else. So that's what I'm seeing. That's what these songs are saying. And
Kevin, you don't have a microwave by any chance, do you?
No.
I'm sorry. Now we're good. All right, go ahead, Dr. Dingman.
Well, the thunder rolls. You're rolling along. You're not ending your work life. It will continue to roll. But the shameless is you're leaving your old job behind, and you're not ashamed. You were very proud. You did your job. You kept your people. You protected and served. And then now you're moving on. And what was the third song?
The Dance.
The Dance, right. You're changing the dance, metaphorically speaking, of course. You're moving from your job to a security job, which is different. It's a different pace.
Perfect.
It's a different melody. You're changing the dance. So it is a very big change, and perhaps the reason that you're calling is because I don't think you're quite aware of what a nice, positive change this is going to be in your life, and this is the universe's way of saying, hey, wake up and enjoy this. This is going to be a positive thing for you that you've earned. And perhaps you're not appreciating your accomplishment. Is that possible?
Well, I think my wife's more happy I'm changing title. I don't really get shot at every day. But, yeah, I think that's a problem.
But, Kevin, you said everything was fine in your relationship. If your wife is worried about you being shot at, that's been a stress in her life, too, hasn't it?
Well, you figure you go out every day, and she wonders if ever going to come home. But yes, we've been like this for 23 years, so
yeah, that'll be a big change for her too. Yeah, that'll be good.
Yes,
yeah, that's an excellent point, Patty. That's what these songs were telling me, and that's why I was confounded that I couldn't I saw a big change coming in your life, like now, and. It's a big change. Think of it from her perspective, as Patty just outlined. Now you're going to a security job, which I'm guessing is much safer than what you're doing now.
Well, it can be, but yeah.
Okay. So now she knows you're coming home every day. So I got news for you. If that doesn't make her happier, then you got problems.
Well, it makes me happy because I don't have to wear a vest all the time because it gets aggravating, but yeah.
I would think so. No, just wear a sport coat and slacks. The vest is overkill.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. You know, I'm getting a past life coming through for you.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh. Look out.
Yeah, I'm seeing you were a zebra.
No.
Yeah. You're a zebra. Oh, an animal literally behind bars. In your past life.
No.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing. And the what you were eaten by a lion, and that's how you died. And then you come back in this life as the person who puts people behind bars, therefore equalizing your karmic debt to the universe. You see that?
Right.
Yeah. So what you're doing is you're balancing off your karma, and you're at stasis and at peace, which is what you're doing now. You're transforming from someone that has to wear a flak vest every day to some guy that's going to sit and make phone calls to the radio in the middle of the night when you're working your security job.
Well, I'm sitting in the middle of the highway watching cars go by, so yeah, well, I guess why not? So yeah.
Kevin, Dr. Dingman, I have to take a break, and I want to thank you, Kevin, first of all, for calling in tonight, but also for your 23 years of service, and it's been a pleasure. I'm so glad to know that you're listening to our show. We are going to send out a Lou Malnati's pizza. Maybe you and your wife can celebrate some, you know, in the next couple weeks. We'll send you out a gift card, and they will ship that, by the way. Anywhere in the United States, Lou Malnati's can ship a pizza. Eventually, we'll get one to Dr. Dingman. I promise, sir. I promise we will send you a pizza, but Kevin first.
I'm going to have to call in, even though I'm in the studio. I'm going to have to call in for a pizza. Just for the pizza.
Kevin gets the last pizza of the week. Thank you so much, sir. Have a great evening. Dr. Dingman, it's been too long. It can't be this long again. I have to say at least twice a month. If you could pencil me in.
Absolutely. I was out of the country for several months, but I am back here in California now, and I'd be happy to come on the show more regularly.
We would appreciate that tremendously. It's such a pleasure to hear your voice and to hear that you're well. We haven't even talked about politics, so perhaps next time we can talk a little bit about, surmise some of the elements of what's going on nationally.
Here's all I'm going to say about that, Patty. Big change is coming.
Oh.
I'm seeing Niagara Falls of problems and changes.
Okay.
Which ultimately will be good for the country.
All right. Well, if anything happens between now and next week, perhaps we check in sooner rather than later.
Fantastic. Just play some blues music with the guy there.
With Wayne Baker Brooks. Thank you, sir. Again, what's the website?
It's itunespsychic.com.
Excellent. Be well, and we will talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Chicago.
I'll take some vocal lessons. More after this on 720 WGN.